We're just believing that God has some good things in store for us today. And I just want to say this is opportunity to, you know, give God glory and honor. Amen. People often wonder, maybe you're not like me, but I'm thinking people wonder about life, particularly when almost like, you know, I shared with you on my birthday weekend kind of thing, my uncle passed away. It's like celebrating birth, life, and having life gone in some ways. And it's a little bit odd, perhaps, in some ways. But really, it got me thinking about the thought. And this is what the message is based on. As you might recall, a few weeks ago, I said in the summertime, I'm not taking a particular series to preach through, but I'm taking topics and just. So I preached on worship and I preached on prayer last couple of weeks. And I just asking God, what is it that you want me to share during the week? And maybe it's just a week and I'm just so, you're okay with that? That's where we're going for the next few weeks in the summer. So I really felt God was saying to me particularly, talk about eternal life today. How would you like to hear about eternal life? I think it'd be awesome. And you know, and what's interesting is that whole idea of eternal life or everlasting life, as it's, because that verse that my grandson quoted last week, 4 years old, he came up and he said he wanted to quote a verse. And that was the verse, God so loved the world that he gave his, as some people, you know, we remember the old translation, the only begotten son, one and only dear son. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life, life forevermore, will not die, but will live forever. That's a great thought. Now, oftentimes when people think about eternal life, their thoughts go to that, which is life after death. Isn't that true? So if I was to say to you, I want to talk today about eternal life, your thoughts would automatically be thinking, well, he's going to talk about life after death. Okay. Well, first of all, I want to tell you this. Eternal life does mean everlasting life, or we will say life after death. But in that scripture I just quoted, I'm not necessarily going to, you know, just necessarily preach out of that scripture, but I want to just make reference to that verse again. John 3:16, God so loved the world, which means he loves you and loves me and loves the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. And sometimes we think we actually stop there, and that's the essence of it, which means that they will not perish. Okay, if they will not perish, what are they going to have? Life forevermore. So in the context of that verse, and even in our mindset, we're thinking what that verse is talking about is you will not perish, so which means that you're going to have a place in heaven. Right? That you're going to have a place with God, which is, so basically we actually end the verse at that phrase, will not perish. Okay, which is good. I'm glad that I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody else? And you know, for me, the thing that, you know, became a reality of this whole essence of faith for me was the time of my mom's death. I shared that with you many times before. Some of you heard my story. But it was at that moment that I realized that life doesn't go on forever. So the first tragedy in my life personally was my mom's death when she was in her 40s. So it was like a wake-up call. Hey, life doesn't go on forever. I think it's a good thing for us to recognize that this life is temporal. It's temporary. It's brief, even for a person as old as my uncle, 88 years old, that went on to be with God and went to be in heaven. It's still a short period of time when you think of eternity. Are you following me? So it gets us thinking that it's not just about this life. That there's got to be a preparation. There has to be an understanding that there's life that goes on forever. Well, the reality is, the minute that life is given birth, the minute that a person comes into this world, there is an essence of the life that God intends for them, and it's to be in a connection with God. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit because I don't want to lose you here. Okay, let's back up. All right. When God created man and woman, the Bible says that God created man in his own image. Now, when I use the word man, I'm talking man and woman because it was Adam and Eve, right? Okay. God breathed his life into the first, our first parents. He breathed his life. It was like God saying, what I have, I'm giving to you, because it says God made man in his own image. And there was a place of connection. There was a place of relationship. There was a place where God and those first parents had that relationship. It was like there was nothing between them. How many of you had relationships when there's something between you and somebody else? You know, something that's just hard feelings or, you know, things that you just can't share openly. Are you following what I'm saying? But between God and Adam and Eve, there was nothing. It was like, and when the Bible says they were naked, it just doesn't mean that they were physically naked. It means there was nothing between them. Nothing hidden. It was like open book. And there was such a relationship between God and man. It was an intimate connection. They would have relationship, and I use the word communion this way. They would have friendship and relationship. They would have a communion. They would have that intimate connection. Because, and you know, when I say there's nothing between, there was nothing that separated them. Follow me here for a minute. Nothing separated them in that communion, in that relationship of oneness. Because what they had was the quality of God in them. The essence of God was in them. God was still God, but God created man with his quality, with his characteristics, with his attributes. Come on, think of that. God made man with the qualities of his nature. Boom, put inside them. Aren't you? When you think about this, that's like really amazing that God would make man in his image, and he would have that connection. He would have that relationship, and they would be so a place of closeness and intimacy in that place. Now listen, God's intention was that through Adam and Eve, our first parents, his qualities, his characteristics, his life that was breathed into their life would now inhabit the earth. Now, can you imagine a world where God qualities are in people? Imagine a world where there's justice, love, peace, fairness, equity, all those. Can you imagine a world where the qualities of God are breathed into man and woman and they're living life and perpetuating life? I don't know what kind of world that would be like, because we never had it. So our first forefathers, in that essence of how they were created, they were given this life, and they were to just, it would be perpetuated. But hey, there was another being, and you know, I'm not, without going into all the story, you know it well anyways, but there was another being, the serpent, who was, you know, who was out to steal, kill, and destroy the plan of God, right? So it's just quite basic. But the point is, that serpent, that evil creature, had in mind that, hey, oh, he was always the enemy of God. He rebelled against God, you know, serpent, Satan. And as he had rebelled against God, he had chosen that he would destroy the plan of God. Now listen, the plan of God was that man and woman, his creation, the pinnacle of his creation, those that were created in his image, would have eternal life. God life in them. Don't miss it. Eternal life is a life that has God quality. Okay, if I said to you, think about it this way. There's a temporary life. There's a physical life. There's a natural life. Think of it this way, right? There's a natural life. We all have a natural life, right? But there's another part of it where it's eternal. I'll use another term, a heavenly life. It's beyond here. But don't think of it just as heaven. Sometimes we think life, a heavenly life, is a life that is in heaven when we die. Now let me tell you something. That's true. I'm glad that I will not perish, but I'm going to have a life in heaven, aren't you? Okay. But heavenly life, eternal life, is the life that God had intended for man to have the minute they were born. But the enemy comes in. Now, you know there's a verse in the Bible. It's in John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I don't know about your life because we haven't connected that well. Some of you I do know, but not everybody. I don't know everybody here. But I know one thing, that the enemy's intention has been from the minute, listen, even before you were conceived, before you came into this world, don't kid yourself. Listen, don't fool yourself thinking that there isn't an enemy. The enemy's intention has been to destroy the creation of God. And of all the creation of God that he wants to destroy the pinnacle of his creation, which is made in his image. So he comes to our first parents. I happen to believe the Bible story because it makes sense. He comes to our first parents and he says, and you know, here's the thing. There was never a separation, remember, between Adam and Eve and God. There was never anything between them that separated. Well, the serpent comes in and he creates a doubt because God had given them this. He said, listen, as long as, you know, we're having this communion, I'm giving you everything. Go ahead, you know, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. This is, I'm just quoting verse from Genesis. And he says, and enjoy life. I'm giving you this to enjoy and to perpetuate my life. Perpetuate my life. Come on, wouldn't that be awesome? And they chose to disobey God because God had said, listen, everything is yours except that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't need to mess with that. Well, for some reason, serpent had deceived them and they took part. Now, you know, that's a story that you all know a little bit about. But the point of all that is now something happened that caused them to separate. So God said, the minute you take, when you eat that tree, you will surely die. You know the Bible verse. He says, don't eat of that tree. I've given you life. I've given you eternal life. I've given you life that is God life. I've given you a life that's so close that we're connected. We can be in fellowship without any darkness between us, without any shadow between us, without any separation between us. Don't eat that tree because when you eat that tree, that will stop. So what happened? You know the thing that happened to Adam and Eve? The death that they incurred was they became separated from God. The minute Adam and Eve took that part in that, so they became separated from the life of God, separated from the communion with God, separated from the intimate relationship, that time, like it was like, and all of a sudden the Bible says they ate the tree and they knew they were naked. You know what naked means? Naked isn't just that they were without clothes. Exposed. They, you know what they realized? They realized that there's something different now about them. And that fellowship with God was broken. It's never been God's intention that you, his beloved creation, would ever be separated from him. The thief comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. So let's fast forward it now to your life. I want to fast forward from there to your life. The enemy's plan for your life has been to steal, kill, and destroy your life so you would not be reconnected with the Father in heaven who loves you. The enemy's plan, because separation happened through Adam and Eve, the Bible actually is pretty clear on this, so I'm not going to go into a lot of the scriptures, but I'm just going to give you a couple. So it says, because Adam and Eve had sinned, disobeyed God, separation occurred, then all mankind has now incurred that separation. That separation from God is a part of every man and woman, every child. That's interesting. Some people say, oh, no, my child is never. Now, my child's a good boy and a good girl. I'm not suggesting there's not a good boy or a good girl. I'm just suggesting all you got to do is see a child, even though they seem very innocent, that nature is in them to rebel. Anybody have a children or been a child? You know, so point I'm making is it's already ingrained into their makeup that they're going to, resist and rebel. Some of my family's visiting. We've had two children. They're 32 and 33 now. One will be 34 shortly. Come on, I can't even imagine. I have children that age. Come on. So now we have grandchildren and my nieces and nephews and little kids coming up everywhere. But anyway, so youngest sister's little boy's at our house. And it's really weird. It's amazing. Man, you tell him no. You say no. Guess what he does? He's not even 2 years old. So he's like, he just whines and cries. You know, it's like the no is the last word he wants to hear. Because there's a rebellion in his heart already, you know, like, no, don't tell me no. So not only is it in the nature and the heart of all those now born after Adam, but there's also, listen to me, this is really important and critical. Not only is the nature, our nature, to not turn to God, but there's also a setup by the devil to keep you away from God. His design and purpose is that he would keep people from knowing God. So basically, he wants to keep you in darkness. There's a verse in the Bible. It says, if the good news of God is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. 2 Corinthians 4, and I think it's verse 2 or 3, something like that, but you just have to look it up later. Okay. So how does that happen? All right. I don't know how old you are. Some of you are probably in your 20s. Some of you are in your 30s and 40s and 50s. Maybe like my dad, almost 90. So it doesn't matter how old you are. But the enemy's plan for your life and my life has been to keep the good news of who God is hidden from us. Basically, his plan is to keep you away from experiencing the life that God always intended for you, and that is eternal life. Now, I'm telling you, eternal life has to do with more than heaven. Yes, it includes heaven, but it has to do with a life that is vitally connected to God. So if that separation happened, listen to this, guys. If that separation happened, and we all have been born into that separation, right? We've all incurred that curse or that sin of Adam. But the enemy then keeps us. And you know what he does? He'll use tricks for you because he is tricky. He's a deceiver. So for example, he'll get you into a lifestyle or a pattern, or he'll cause wounding in your life. By the way, I want you to hear this. God isn't the one who brings evil into your life. Hear this out. God doesn't bring evil into the world. Some people say, why doesn't he get rid of it? Well, he has planned for it. And the plan for it is that we become carriers of his eternal life we receive God in our life, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, that we would start perpetuating real life again. That we would start bringing the good news, the light. We carry the light, right? But the thing is, he's going to keep you in darkness. He's going to keep you the light hidden from you. I'm using terms that may be a little bit, well, you're going, I don't want it to be too vague, but I want you to understand that darkness for you may not be the same as darkness for somebody else. Okay, so what does that mean? Oh, somebody will say, you know what? I can't see God. I can't see his love. I don't understand how could God. So the questions rise in our mind. How can there be so much evil in the world, right? So people can't figure that out, and they think that God should be able to do something about it. Well, let me tell you, I've already shared, God has done something about it. God has given mankind, human beings, a choice. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he didn't make us like robots. We have a choice. I have a choice. You have a choice. But I know one thing, that God's plan for you and I has been that we would experience his life. We would have an experience with God to know him intimately, personally. That's his plan. That's always been his design. That's always been his purpose. So it could be that you had a hard childhood. So you're blaming God for the wounding that you experienced in life. You know, some people just have, it's really difficult. And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody here. Please understand this, but you know, we sometimes look at those things in life and we say, you know, why did God let that happen? Anybody ever asked that question? Let's be honest. Come on, let's not be kidding ourselves. We've all asked that question. Why did God let that happen? Why did I get hurt? Why did I get molested? Hey, that happens, by the way. Why did I get abused? Or why did I get, why did this happen? Why did I lose my child? Or, you know, there's all kinds of opportunities for the enemy to keep that darkness over your life. And as long as that darkness continues, see, the enemy uses his tricks to keep you in that darkness, in that place of blindness, so you don't see what God is really like. And what God's intentions and plans are for your life. But I want to tell you something. You're here this morning. By the way, let me tell you something. Just because you're here this morning, that's good news. You could have been anywhere else, but you chose to come here this morning. And you're hearing what I'm believing to be the greatest news of all, which is the gospel. The word means good news. I'm sharing with you the good news. And the good news is quite simple. That God's intention and purpose for your life is that you would have eternal life. I'm going to give you a few verses. I want to amplify this a little bit more. But I'm going to come back to that place where, you know, where the enemy's plan for your life is to wound you, to hurt you, to cause doubt to come into your life. Our foreparents, Adam and Eve, they started to believe the lie that they were presented, right? Well, guess what? We come to believe some lies ourselves, right? May not be the same lies, but we come to, you know, the enemy's plan is to create doubt in your mind that God even loves you, right? And to cause shame and hurt and guilt and all of that stuff. Listen, I don't know your life personally, but I know how he works. Because I know how he worked in my life. I know how he's worked in other people's lives to create that darkness and to have people continue to live in that darkness so the light would not come and shine on them. But I'm telling you today, the light's going to shine. It's shining here today. And I'm expecting that light of God's love is going to find you today. I am believing that God's love will find you today. And that, listen, I'm praying this morning that you're going to have the peace of God that gives you a sense of knowing eternal life today. Okay? God's plan and purpose is that you would know eternal life. That means you would know Yes, you would know that when you perish, you're not going to, you know, go to hell, right? Whatever, however you want to call it. And you're going to be in heaven. Follow me. But to have the very peace and the presence of God and the quality of life that God intended, because eternal life, in essence, is the life of God that he breathes into you. How many heard the term born again? People get all weirded out about it. Listen, don't get we don't need to get weirded out about something that God already speaking about. Really, when you think, let's just take a couple of verses. First one is that verse, which has to do with being born again. And it's because really all God is saying is he wants to give you a new start. Think about this. If the start we were to have, if we were to be born and we were to have life with God, and it didn't happen because we didn't have life with God when we started, right? Are you following me? And the enemy kept us blinded from that. Then God is saying, I want to give you a new start. I want to give you new life. The word born again really means a new life. I want the life of God. Basically, God breathed into, can you think, I want you to picture this. Here's dust. God takes dirt and he starts to make something on the dirt. Can you imagine being on the sand shore? How many of you have seen people make things on the sand? I think it's amazing. Some guys can do it. The sand castles and all. He makes this image and he looks at it. He says, that looks pretty good. And I go, he goes, read your Bibles. And he breathes life into that. And he said, that's very good. It looks like me. That's you and I. It's supposed to look like. Something happened. We got separated, right? From God. But God is saying, I want to still over you. And I want to breathe life back to you. Do you follow me? Because we lost it. And the Bible even says we're like dirt now, because it says we're dead in sin. We've lost life. Life isn't in us. So God is saying, now you may be breathing and you might have a pulse beat, but let me tell you something. I want more than a pulse beat. How many want life? How many want life with meaning? Life with a purpose? Life with the idea that you're loved by God and that you can feel it, that you can know what I do. Thank God that that became a reality for me, and it's still becoming more of a reality for me. So God is saying, so this is what this scripture in John chapter 3, where you have that expression being born again, I want you to hear it again, because some of you know it. But if Jesus is speaking to this one man who comes to him and asks the question. And now Jesus knows the guy, but he asks a question that Jesus doesn't even answer, because he knows what the guy's looking for. He's looking for the answer to life. And Jesus said to this man in verse 3 of John chapter 3, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That's what, in reply, okay, sorry. The man answered, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born again. Of course, how's he thinking? The verse is up there, guys. You can look at it there. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus says, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. So he's thinking naturally, right? True? Well, how is Jesus thinking? Spiritually or eternally? That's what I want you to see. Eternally is out of this world thinking. Supernatural thinking. Heavenly thinking. You get me now? Eternal is beyond the natural. So what's he saying? He says to this person, he says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives life. Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You must not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And then he makes a reference. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear the sound. You can't tell where it comes from. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You know what he's saying? It's just like the wind. Really what he's saying is just like the breath. just like breath. Natural life happens naturally. Spiritual life happens when God gets involved and he breathes. What does that mean? It means that you recognize that you're without life. You recognize that you need the breath of God. You recognize that God loves you. Now, I believe Holy Spirit does that. Here's the thing. I do my job telling you the good news. Holy Spirit does his job to breathe that into you. Do you follow me? I'm doing my job to the best of my ability by the grace of God to share this message with you. Holy Spirit will be doing his job to bring it to your heart. Okay? He's doing it now. Because what happens is barriers that have happened in your life. Because the mess that you have, you know, maybe you made, or let me tell you something. It's the devil who comes to mess it up. All I did was participate in it. Do you follow me? So, you know, some of the people just blame themselves and say, oh, I'm such a terrible person. Well, the reality is there is sin, there's difficulty, there's issues, but the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So all I did, there are people who came to Jesus with all kinds of brokenness, all kinds of hurt. There were prostitutes that came to Jesus. Come on. You know, as a matter of fact, some of the religious people didn't like the people that came to Jesus. You know what they told him? You know what they said about Jesus? Oh, he likes to eat with sinners and tax collectors. Now, you're going to say, why tax collector? Well, tax collectors in that day were evil, and they took advantage of people. So he's eating and drinking with, why? Because Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost, those that are broken, those that are hurting. There was a woman that Jesus shared this good news with who had five husbands, and she had been divorced maybe five times. And the man she was living with wasn't her husband, and she was, you know, most people wouldn't even look at that woman. Jesus shared the love of God with her. God's intention is that he finds you no matter what state you're in, and he goes looking for you. He brings you into a place where you recognize that all that's happened to you in your life is the plan of the enemy to keep you away from God, keep you separated from God. But Jesus' intention is that he would come and show you what life is. I already shared that first part of that verse with you, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the next half of that verse says, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and life to the fullest. I'm not sure if that's up there, but that's okay. I have come that you might have life, and life abundant. Meaning what Jesus said, I've come to give you eternal life. I have come to give you my life again. I've come to over you. Just because you're here this morning, I believe God's going over you. He's saying, receive the life I have. Let me breathe on you. Let me give you this new life. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I want you to see this. When this new life becomes your life, something amazing happens. As he's turning to that, I'm going to give you one more verse. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of God's glory, the glory of God, which means that there's not one person here who can say he qualifies for God's glory. There's not one person who qualifies for this relationship with God, which brings heaven to earth, which brings heaven to my life, right? There's not one person who can say I'm qualified. There's not one person who can say I deserve it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it says, I'm going to quote that other, half of that other verse, Romans 6, 20. Leave it there for a second. The next part of that verse says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm quoting to you Romans 6:23. Okay, so let's look at this. So what happens when you receive the gift of God, which is eternal life? When you're born again, how do you get born again? You receive the gift of God, which is when you receive what God's done. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, well, who can be in Christ? Anyone who receives the gift of God. So I had my birthday, right? You all know about that now. Just the other day, turned 60. Great. I don't feel like I'm 60, but man, you know, it had to be that I'm 60. So anyway, so yeah. So this is one of my gifts. Isn't that nice? I bet you never seen this shirt on me before. Anybody? Thank you. I wore it this morning, and my grandson and my grandson Isaiah, and Shelley says, look what you got. He calls me Gigi, because he couldn't say Grampy, so Gigi still sticks with us. So he said, look at Gigi, he's got your new shirt on, right? So it was a gift given to me. A gift is something that is offered to you freely, paid by somebody, right? And they have purchased it or they have gotten it and they're giving it to you and you receive it how? Freely. When you get a gift, do you pay for it? You don't pay for it. You receive it. This is important. Because when you receive the gift of God, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Which means that God is saying, what is the gift of God? The gift of God is that God has sent his son Jesus to give his life for you, to reclaim you, to give you hope again, to give you a purpose, give you a meaning, clean the slate. Come on, how many like to have a clean slate? I remember when I was rebelling against God and God showed me that, hey, there was a way to come back to him and that stuff of my past, you know, all my sin, all my junk, all that stuff would be clean. I'd stand right before God. Come on, I would not be any longer separated from God. He would see me naked and all, you know what I'm talking about, spiritually speaking. Emotionally speaking, every part of my life, and he would say, forgiven. So, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a? Everybody say it together. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. You know what God's saying? I'm giving you a new start. I'm giving you that start that you were supposed to have when you didn't get it, because you inherited sin and the devil kept you hidden and separated. But I'm giving you a new start. You know, I'll tell you. I'm going to go back to something. When that message was shared with me, I'd heard that message for a long period of time. This is important and critical for you to hear this, guys. I heard that message and I knew a little bit about it. But what's interesting is, even in that time when God starts to speak to your heart and he starts to draw you back in, some of you are being drawn back to God now, right here, because you're here this morning, and I know that God's drawing you back with a message of love, that he cares for you, that he wants to wipe your whatever and give you a clean start. I like that idea. So you heard my story. I have to refer to my story. So back in that day, I was 17, 18 years old, and I was rebellious, man. And I did everything bad that you can imagine. Dad sitting here, he didn't know half of what I was doing. But hey, he's glad his son's a preacher today. Amen. But let me tell you something. When that reality came home to me that I didn't want any more of this life, that I wanted the life that my mom had, right? I wanted peace with God. I wanted eternal life. When that reality came home to me, guess what? The enemy, listen to this, the enemy, the devil, who kept me in blindness, still did not want me quite to get it. So for 8 months, that seems like a long time, perhaps, maybe it doesn't seem like a long time, but for 8 months, from October to July of that year, well, I was pursuing trying to become right with God, somehow thinking that God would accept me. Guys, I don't know how I even thought of that, but I think that's ingrained in the mind of people. I think it's ingrained in the heart of people. Somehow they have to do something to qualify to be accepted by God. That's what we think, right? Somehow I got to clean up. I did. I started to clean up my life. I was into whatever stuff I was into. Should I say it? Just imagine it. It's better if you just imagine it, right? I was probably there. So I started to do, I would say good things, right? Even enrolled in Bible college because that was my last year of high school. All that I did because I thought somehow God would be okay with me and happy with me, right? It wasn't until the summer of that year, a verse hit me between the eyes, a Bible verse. I needed to see it because I thought, and you know what was weird? I still didn't feel that I was in the right relationship with God, even though I cleaned up my life. Listen, I thought I'd cleaned up my life so somehow I'd feel right with God. But the verse that hit me between the eyes, can you turn to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians 2, 8, 9. He's going to go there, you'll see it in a minute. But you see, God's plan and purpose for all. I'm so glad it's like this. You know why? Because I don't know if I'd ever known that I would qualify. Hear me out, guys. I want you to know, how do you know enough is enough? How do you know that you've turned your life around enough that somehow you'd have a relationship with God? Anybody know? How do you know enough is enough? I'm so glad that God makes equal plain for everybody. God makes it the same for everybody. No matter what life you've had in the past, no matter what life you look what it says. And this verse just hit me between the eyes. Boom. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith. You know what that means? Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's gift that you don't deserve. I remember one time getting stopped by the police. And I was doing bad. I was speeding. And the guy stopped me. I don't know why, but he let me go. He had grace on me. Undeserved favor. Right? Just giving you an example. Grace is so, I don't deserve it. Just God gives it to me freely. And everybody's equal here. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. All I had to do is faith. All I had to do is believe. All I have to do is accept. For by grace you're saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, which means it is the gift of God. Everybody say it's the gift of God. And gift is something that somebody gives to you, and you get to wear it. Get this. This is important. I have the gift of God, which is eternal life, and I get to wear it. You know what that means? I have God's life, and I get to wear it. It's a gift. I'm going to go there in a couple of minutes to tell you what that looks like. Okay? It's a gift of God. Now let's get to the next verse. Not by. That means nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing you can do that'll qualify you and not the other. It is not by works so that no one can boast. Simple. So this is it, guys. I want you to hear this. I have people who have difficulty, even at this stage of their life, wondering if they are yet recipients of this gift. I don't want anybody leaving here this morning, by the grace of God, I don't want anybody leaving in doubt. Wouldn't it be great this morning if you did not have doubt about eternal life? I'm praying that you will not have doubt this morning before you leave. Now listen, here's a great verse. By the way, I'm really hoping to be done in 5 minutes. So pray for me. Because I want more worship music here today. I've already told the team. And then we got to leave by 12. So after I'm gone, a couple of you other people can take over the meeting. I'm just going to just designate a couple of people to take over the meeting. Amen. Because God's going to do stuff here, but I don't need to be here. Aren't you glad? Wow, isn't that awesome? God is so good. There's a little book in the Bible. It's called 1 John. Okay? It's just before Revelations. There's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and then Revelation. Anyways, in this book, John, the writer, his purpose of the book is to give us an idea what eternal life is about. The whole purpose of John is to show us that we can know that we have eternal life. How do I know that? Well, I'm going to read it to you, and you're going to say, yeah, that's true. That's his purpose. Okay, what's the name of the book? 1 John. Where is it found? At the end, close to Revelation. So if you want to go to it, go ahead. 1 John, and I want you to see chapter 5, if you're there. 1 John, verse 13. 1 John 5:13. If you don't have a Bible, it's fine, because my good friend back there is going to bring it up on the screen. Okay, what's the purpose of him writing? I write these things to you who believe in the name of who? Son of God, that you may know that you have. Guess what? The whole book is to tell us that we can know. How many would like to know? I don't want to live in doubt. I want to live in faith and confidence. If he's saying that he's writing these things, he says, I write this thing to you who believe in the name of. Okay, I want to ask you a question this morning. It's quite simple. How many believe this is how it works? If you're able to just say, look, God, I'm willing to give you my mess. That doesn't mean you still don't have questions. If you're willing to say, God, I'm willing to give you my mess, whatever that looks like, my sin, the life that I've lived, I'm just willing to give it to you. I am willing to receive the fact that Jesus, God's Son, gave his life for me. That's a simple message. That's the message of the Christian faith, no matter what stripe you wear. Do you understand? Whether you're Catholic, a Protestant, Baptist, Pentecost, I don't care. That message is there. Jesus Christ died for our sins. And the enemy wants to keep you away from knowing that. He died for you. If you're willing to say, if you're willing this morning to say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me personally, I accept that. Listen, here's the thing. The enemy wants you to doubt in every way. But can you just say, I accept that for me? I accept that for me, for personally, that he died for me, gave his life for me. He loved the world, but you're part of the world. He gave his life for me. Can you say this, that you are going to believe in the name of the Son of God? And I'm going to tell you, if you're willing this morning to just say, God, I don't understand life. My life may be messed up. I don't know what's going on in your life. I'm not trying to read your mind or read your life. I just want you to know eternal life today. I want you to experience the God life that he planned for you from the beginning, that the enemies kept you away from. I'm sick and tired of the devil beating up on my friends and my family. Come on. I'm sick and tired of the devil just playing havoc with people's lives. I'm just saying to you this morning, can you just make a declaration of faith? Can you make a confession of faith saying, I believe in the name of the Son of God, who is Jesus. And I'm not doubting anymore, because it says, so that I may know that I have eternal life. So my prayer this morning is that you're going to believe in your, and it's a believing in your heart. There's another verse in the Bible that says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, you will be saved. Confession with your mouth is simply saying it, saying, Lord, I believe. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Listen, this isn't a magical formula. Did you hear what I said? All it is simply is I'm just taking God's word and telling you what it says. It says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You will be saved, which means you will have eternal life. You'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Okay, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You confess it with your mouth and you believe in your heart. You're going to say, well, I don't know how much faith I have. I don't know how much I have to believe. Let me, if you just simply say, Jesus, you died for me and I want you to come into my life and give me eternal life. Give me the purpose of life that you had for me. Give me the meaning of life. Give me hope. Come on. Are you just willing to say that? That's all I'm saying. So if you're willing to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, I am convinced that God will give you eternal life and peace. When that reality came home to me, I just couldn't believe it. I was an 18-year-old rebellious teenager turning my life around, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, can't be that simple. It can't be that simple. Guess what? It is, because it's an exchange that God's making. He's taking your sin, your stuff, and he's taking it upon himself that Jesus took on himself on the cross. He already took it. And he's given you his life in return. He's given you by his spirit his life back. I'm telling you, it's amazing. 42 years ago, July, this man received that gift. It doesn't matter when you receive it. I've seen people in their deathbed that I've shared with have received that gift. Don't miss the opportunity today. So I'm going to pray, and you, if you want to pray this prayer with me, maybe you already have prayed this prayer, but pray this prayer and make this a prayer of faith and let the Lord do what he's going to do. Okay, so I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. Say it with your mouth. You don't have to say it loud if you don't want to, but say it with your mouth, and you, even if it's a whisper, and believe it in your heart. Can you all say this prayer with me? Dear God, I know my life has been messed up. I don't know what kind of a mess your life is. My life has been messed up. I'm just saying that. I know that I've sinned. I know that Jesus died for my sin. I believe he took my sin on the cross. I give all my sin to Jesus. Place it all on him. And I receive the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. I receive Jesus. I receive eternal life as a gift. Thank you for giving me that gift. Amen. You're going to say, well, nothing weird happened. Let me tell you something. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. And if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm telling you right now, you watch and see what will take place. What God does is this. I'm going to just finish this up. I said I'll be done in a couple of 5 minutes. Now I got about a minute or two left. What God does, he gives us eternal life. And as I said to you, it's like his qualities, his grace, abilities, his attributes. I don't know how else to say it. How many love to be like to be more loving? How many like to be more just and fair? God is loving. God is just. God is fair. You know what he does? He gives me something to wear now. What does he give me? Himself. If you're a new creation, you get to wear God. His robe of righteousness. That's what the Bible says. He gives you his robe of righteousness. He gives you a garment. Another verse, it says he gives you the garment, a robe of garment of salvation. He's taken the robe. Listen, I want to tell you something. Some of you felt shame coming in here today. I tell you something, shame is gone. I want you to do something. Maybe you don't need to, but imagine this. Imagine a robe of shame that was on you, that Jesus took it. I want you to see this, guys. It's important. The robe of pain, shame, whatever you carry, it's on here now. Can you picture it? All, any fear, any doubt, anything that kept you away from God is where? On Jesus. He takes all that. It says he became a curse for you. Feel cursed? You feel like, you know, life has ripped you? Hey, it's gone now. I don't have to carry it anymore. Come on. I'm telling you, this is such a wonderful message of eternal life, which means God's life is now on me. I hope you remember Noel's new shirt. And the message is that I wear the life of God. Okay, let me tell you something. I'm not perfect. Talk to my wife. We're not talking perfection here. But we're talking righteousness. We're talking God qualities. I'm telling you, rebellion, the stuff that was in my life, it left. Some things God's still working on. I have so many more verses to preach on this message. I covered about 3 of 6 or 7 scriptures I wanted to share. Time is gone. I got to honor the worship team. Come on up, worship team. Not only honor the worship team, I really need to honor what the Lord put on my heart to do. Okay. I know the Lord is saying there's more to share, but it's for another day. Amen.